The Marketplace lead this morning is about China as customer and benefactor across the world. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Chinese Prime Minister Li Keqiang arrives in Brazil today ahead of further visits to Colombia, Peru, and Chile as the week goes on. His counterparts in South America must be concerned about this principle. When China's economy catches a cold, there is sneezing in South America and beyond. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following China's overseas economic relationship. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
The Chinese premier is arriving in Brazil today. Now, the context is China's economy isn't growing in the way that it was. Why might this be of concern in a place like South America?
Well, for Brazil in particular, China is the country's biggest single trading partner, a very important buyer of Brazilian soybeans, iron ore, and various other things. So, yeah, the Brazilians in particular are very concerned about what's going on in China. And to a significant extent, that same concern is echoed across South America.
It's one of our key themes, right, Andrew? What happens in China in this globalized economy does not stay in China.
No, absolutely. For many emerging economies, China is absolutely central as a customer, as a buyer of raw materials. And if you look at the Brazilian economy, last year it barely grew at all. This year the IMF is forecasting that it's actually going to contract. And the problems in the export market are an important part of that story.
Andrew, a related angle here is that China has been drawing sub-Saharan Africa, South and Central America closer to its orbit by throwing not just its role as a customer around, but by throwing some of its capital around, making investments in these countries. Do you think as China's economy slows, that will affect that process?
One of the things we are expecting to come out of the visit to Brazil is an agreement on building a rail link between the Brazilian Atlantic coast and the Pacific coast in Peru. If China gets involved in that, if it really does get off the ground, if you'll forgive the choice of metaphor, then there would be an awful lot of Chinese money going into that.
Always good to talk to the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker. Andrew, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And word today that India is asserting that its economic growth will beat China's this year. India's finance minister told the Financial Times he's thinking 8% for India, which would top China's. Now, some other numbers. In London, the 100 share index is down a tenth of a percent. Dow, S&P, and Nasdaq futures are pointing to a lower opening on U.S.-based markets in about 2.5 hours or so here. Oil is up, but still less than $60 a barrel using the Texas price. The dollar is up at a euro 14 and up to 119.7 Japanese yen. The tech sector in San Francisco may be booming, but homeless people in that city are still suffering. And with real estate prices surging, the pressure on people at the margin is intensifying. There's only about one shelter bed for every five homeless people in that city, and both homeless people and their neighbors are pushing for solutions. So San Francisco is trying a new kind of shelter, one with a difference, fewer rules, and more open space, Sam Harnett reports.
Marco Simonetti is rolling back his sleeve. He has thick, long, fresh scars all down his arm.
I was robbed and stabbed a couple of weeks ago.
Simonetti was living on the street. The attackers took all he had, a bike, wallet, and $3.
They just picked me at random, I guess. Maybe the gray hair. There's an old guy that'd get him.
Simonetti is much safer now. He's living at the Navigation Center. It's different from most shelters, less institutional. There's a big courtyard and no curfew, so guests can come and go anytime.
We're trying to lower the barriers for people on the street to access shelter.
Julie Ledbetter directs the center and says the biggest difference is that people can bring pets, partners, and possessions. Usually, they have to leave all that behind.
We don't want to create a place that breaks down the very little supports that they have, so it's about starting with what they have and building up.
Shelters are a band-aid. Dorms crammed with beds, no place to put your stuff. Sexes are separated to protect women from rape. These conditions keep people out.
I don't go nowhere she can't go.
Alan Nathy is an Army vet. He's been homeless 15 years and never went to a shelter. He couldn't abandon the love of his life.
Benji, come here. Come here, Mommy. Say hi to the man.
What kind of dog do you know?
She's an English Staffordshire Terrier.
The center has government services on site to help with housing, benefits, and jobs. Housing director Bevan Dufty says the city is under pressure to innovate.
The technology companies that are here, they want to see us do a better job at responding to homelessness.
Dufty hopes they start chipping in more because the center isn't cheap. It's funded by a $2.4 million anonymous donation, and it accommodates only 75 people at a time. But Simonetti says the difference from a regular shelter is huge.
They treat you more like a regular person here. You know, they help more. They want to see you progress. They don't want to see you stagnate.
Simonetti hopes to organize himself and get back together with his old girlfriend. She's now living off the street. But his big dream is to buy a boat like the one he used to live in, to head out to the Golden Gate Bridge, turn left, and keep on sailing. I'm Sam Harnett for Marketplace.
And before we go, a stronger U.S. economy means more people will fly this summer. An airline industry trade group calculates that 222 million people will fly this summer, a season it defines as June 1 to August 31. The record was 218 million in the last summer before the financial collapse. That would be those halcyon days of 2007. This figure includes international flights routed through the U.S. Airlines are adding some seats, sometimes very thin and spindly seats. And ticket prices are expected to be ever so slightly down from last summer, despite all this demand. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.